She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too
excited. Little closer! Whoa!
Whoa. Need some water?
Should have cleared the throat before we came on.
At least you turned your mic off before that. I don't know if Josh yesterday, since I was not here yesterday, I don't know if Josh still has it saved anywhere. I don't know. And I know Josh was in the big boy chair, as Adam Schefter, you know, loved and was a big fan of pointing out. I don't know if the latest Chewy noise in the middle of a... I'm trying to do a read, and Chewy just belches into his microphone.
That happened?
On Monday.
On Monday. See what happens when I'm not here.
Oh, I think he kind of had senioritis. You know, he's going on. Chewy's not here for the 2 weeks. He's on this big European vacation. And he just decided he wasn't going to turn his microphone off. WisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
Oh, it was during your read.
That's what I'm saying.
What a Neanderthal we have. Good grief. What I was going to say is a little closer to hole here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, because Gabe is back and Josh is behind the glass and I'm here. And of course, Chewy is off gallivanting. That's the word we're using for Chewy, gallivanting in Europe. What is Lederhosen Day? Did he tell you what day
No.
they're all strapping on Lederhosen?
No, I just assume whenever we get a picture, I don't know. It seems like it would be on a weekend. But when you're on vacation, like every day's a weekend, so I don't really know.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I do want to know when. I mean, I'd love to see our guy in Lederhosen. It'll be like when he dressed up as Elf.
That's still my favorite picture of him, just chugging a 2-liter bottle of Coke while dressed up like Elf.
Yeah, he's a character. We miss him. We love him. And so we want to talk about the Green Bay Packers to start. We had a full show today, so we should probably get into it. Rashid Walker yesterday, and you know what? I don't know how I feel about this. I was going to say I love this, and then I was like, slow your roll, because I'm not sure if I actually love it. Joshy, do we have the sound of Rashid Walker yesterday making a declaration about this year's Green Bay Packers?
And then the goal is to, you know, keep it going. I think we can go undefeated, honestly. I mean, personally, I feel like I always tell people, I feel like we could have went undefeated the past 2 seasons. Like, we lost a lot of the games off a couple plays. But I feel like our offense has been playing so good and so disciplined, and our defense has been playing even better, and special teams been playing great. And I feel like, you know, it's all about who comes out hottest at the beginning of the game and at the half. So, and I feel like we've been doing a good job of that. You know, pound for pound, I look at these teams, and I don't really see who's better than us. Honestly, that's why I can say that so confidently.
All right, a lot of stuff to unpack there, Gabe. First and foremost, the fact that Rashid Walker tells us that not only does he think this year's Packers team can go undefeated, but that he has thought the last few Packers teams could have gone undefeated, makes him a bit of an unreliable source of information on this topic specifically.
I mean, I'm glad. If someone's going to be a toad, I think I want my left tackle to be the toad, right? Because let's be honest. There's no reason to think this team should have been undefeated 2 years ago. They went 9-8. They snuck into the playoffs, and things were fun. That last 2 months of the season, the first 2 months of the season, things were very much not fun, and very much that team was not going undefeated. Jordan Love taking over. I like the confidence in saying it. I don't know if I like him saying it out loud to the media. And so you were at Fox 6 when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010.
Correct.
Were you still there in 2011?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to remember if. Because it's 14 years ago at this point. But Charles Woodson challenged that team to go undefeated. But I don't remember if that story came out before the season, during the season, or after the season.
Yeah, it's not ringing a bell. I'm not really sure. I feel like if it had been during the season, and again, we can go back and look. Everything is time-stamped here on the old internet. But it doesn't ring a bell as something mid-season where we would have had the debate about, like we are having now, do you like this? Do you not like this? Should this stay internal? Are you glad that it's out there? All of that stuff. So my gut tells me that it was not something that kind of crept out. And also, Charles Woodson has a bit of a about him, like a presence about him, right? You don't piss off Charles Woodson. So even if Charles Woodson said it and you caught wind of it,
yeah,
I feel like you're keeping that stuff close to the vest, whether you're a fellow player, whether you're a media member. So there's a part of me that feels like just because of who Charles was, that might have also contributed to it staying internal versus getting out during the season. Here's the thing I want to say. If you have a friend, gal or guy, doesn't matter who it is, and they're dating someone, and they say, I think this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is it. I got the butterflies. I think this is the one. I think we're going to get married. And you remind your pal, guy or girl, that they thought that about the last two relationships that did not end up being a walk down the aisle, holy matrimony.
But if you have that friend, aren't you glad they're having that conversation in private with you first before declaring it outwardly to everyone they know?
But now they have. That's right, right.
That's the issue. You know, they go on their social media, they go on their Instagram correct. Account and go, hey, I think this is the one. That's when you get kind of out over your skis. Having those feelings internally, talking about them with your pals, no issue with that. Yeah, I don't like throwing it out there two games into the season. I don't like you throwing it out there. Yeah, I don't think. And again, I like the fact, the entire line of thinking I agree with. You look around like, I don't know if there's anybody better than the Packers right now. Now, we're 2 weeks into the season, and we all know how much things can change week to week in the NFL. So I like that he has that confidence. I like that he has that in the way he feels that way. Don't necessarily love him putting it out there, because if you trip up, really against the Browns, which, let's be honest, I don't think is going to happen, or against the Cowboys, if they get fired up to play against Micah for whatever reason, if you lose one of these next couple of games, it's just going to get rubbed in your face. I don't love it.
To your point, the Packers went 9-8 in 2023.
Yeah.
So maybe he's referencing this year.
And last year?
Last year.
Okay.
Not the previous 2 years. Again, because to your point, then you really do have to start questioning him as a source on this topic specifically. 800-990-3776. Do you like Rashid Walker coming out there and saying, I think we can go undefeated? Because again, we have talked about this. There is a certain level of bravado. There is a certain level of confidence. You call it, you know, ego that you have to play this game. Chewy has talked about that, right? You gotta be a little insane. So there's a part of me that wants to file this under that category. Like, I want guys on my team to feel they can go out there and win, that they are the best team day in and day out, week in and week out. And maybe that's what Rashid Walker is subscribing to here. Or perhaps he knows something we don't know, which is that this team is actually better than what we have seen, Gabe. That internally, there is a vibe, there is a belief, there is a, hey man, we won those games pretty handily. And we haven't shown everything. We're still even better than what we've shown.
Would we be taking this differently if somebody else said it? Like if Micah said it? Because right now we're buying into everything Micah Parsons is selling, right? Putting his arm around Lucas Van Ness. Hey, I'm here to make you better. But everything Micah has been saying, everybody's just been biting into hook, line, and sinker. What about Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs? One of these guys that is the leader, that are looked at as a leader of the team. Not a left tackle who is in a positional battle, won his battle in, if we're being honest, doesn't factor into the future of the Green Bay Packers beyond 2025. Would it be different? If the messenger was different, would you feel a little bit different about it?
I think he's got enough gravitas. Can I tell you what? If it was Matthew Golden saying it, I'd be like, aw, little pat on the head, adorable, right? Why don't you play a season in the league first, realize how tough it is to go out there, put your body on the line, you know, after you've put stuff on tape and teams are now scheming for what you can do, you know, why don't you come back to me and talk to me about it then? The fact that he has sort of like this, he's been around is my point. He's been around. This isn't like a guy who, you know, is just flashed on the scene and is just spouting nonsense. So I give it a little more credence because of the gravitas that I think Rashid Walker has. I will tell you this, though. I do think that this is more of a fan conversation. This is something that fans say when they're, you know, pounding beers with their buddies than I think you necessarily want to hear a player say. So I think where I'm landing on this after you and I have sort of worked it out is, yeah, man, feel it, think it, believe it. Don't say it out loud.
Keep it to yourself. Keep it to your buddies.
Or in the locker room. Right? Like,
because I'm willing to bet that at some point in 1996, when the Packers had I think they started 3-0, maybe 4-0 that year before they lost to the Vikings early in the season. But they were just destroying everybody. Destroyed Tampa Bay, destroyed San Diego. I'm betting that Chewy and his guys, when they were out on a Tuesday night, hey, you think we could run this thing? I'm willing to bet it's a conversation they had. Now, none of them said it out loud into a microphone, so I think they were smart enough to kind of keep that. But I'm willing to bet that players have those conversations when you get off to a hot start like this.
A little more context to add here. Bill Huber yesterday checked on what the sports books have to say about the Packers being undefeated. And it turns out, guys, the Packers have the second shortest odds to go 17-0, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. The Buffalo Bills have the shortest odds. That's at plus 1,700. So again, long odds. They don't think it's going to happen. As you well know, it doesn't happen very often. Packers twice, right? Dolphins, Patriots?
For the regular season.
Yes, for the regular season. Obviously, the Patriots ended up losing in the Super Bowl. Packers are plus 5,000.
That's not high enough. That needs to be higher.
The number needs to be higher, yes, in order for you to put something down on it.
Yeah. Well, because, again, you just said it. It's happened twice in modern NFL history. Twice. That's it. Those odds, to me, favor the casino. I mean, and everything does favor the casino. I understand.
It's part of the deal.
That's part of the deal. But that number needs to be higher. Does it not? Does that number not need to be higher if there are only two teams that have ever had an undefeated regular season? I believe the Rams were longer odds to win the Super Bowl the year they won the Super Bowl. Now Vegas learned a lesson from that, and nobody has ever been since then those long of odds to win a Super Bowl ever. But come on, that needs to be plus 5,000. That needs to be plus 10,000.
And then would you drop $10 on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Double the odds.
I always say it's a cup of coffee, man. Drop $10 on something like that. Since the dawn of the 17-game season, this according to Huber on SportsIllustrated.com, in 2021, no team has even gotten close to going 17-0. No team went 16-1, and only two teams went 15-2. Of course, the Lions and the Chiefs. But of course, they talk about how the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl, finished 14-3. I don't think anyone is sitting here going they need to go undefeated. But when Rasheed Walker says, I feel like we can go undefeated, it does give me a little bit of confidence. Because I'm inclined to believe that this isn't just him, you know, spouting nonsense. He's looking around that locker room. He's looking at the talent they have. He's looking at the first two games of the season. And I think he's saying, we're even better than we've shown.
But isn't it a little bit of nonsense? He thought the 9-8 team could go undefeated.
Stop reminding me of that. Stop just, again. This is the one. I feel it. We're going to get married. And you're like, sure, but you told me that about the last two guys you dated.
And you guys broke up 3 dates in.
Would you rather the locker room be like Josh McKinney? Yeah.
McKinney?
No, stop. Hold on. Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney. My brain took him and melded him into one person. Xavier McKinney.
Player.
Thank you.
Josh McKinney.
Who says, basically, it's just two games, long season left. You know, let's just take it day by day, game by game, or Rasheed Walker. Where do you think fans are more right now? Because I got to say, Gabe, if this is center, I think fans right now are leaning more towards Rasheed Walker. I think there is an optimism. I think there is an excitement. I think people are leaning towards this team is special and is going to do special things.
But you can be special and still lose, as you just pointed out, 3 games, 4 games in today's NFL. I mean, the last Packers team to win a Super Bowl lost 6 games. And I think, obviously, that was a pretty special team. They lost 6 games. In the regular season, there were only 16 games. Early returns, by the way, are saying that people do not agree. Early returns, very, very early. Josh just posted it. Rasheed Walker thinks on ESPN Milwaukee, this was just posted. Rasheed Walker thinks the Packers can go undefeated this year. Do you agree? 75% of people are saying no.
Which is the safe bet. As we mentioned, it's happened twice ever, and that was before it was even a 17-game season. 800-990-3776. Mitch weighing in on the Carbless Talk and text line this morning. He says, I actually prefer him to say it now than later in the season when we're 8-0. It feels like that would add even more pressure.
Jinx City. I have two things that I think we need to discuss here that I'd be remiss for us to go to break without saying this. One, us saying maybe keep that to yourself, that's glass houses right there situation, just us as a show. We are probably the patron saints of not keeping things. We should be keeping things to ourselves. So when we tell Rasheed Walker that, I feel like we're being a little hypocritical. Two, I think it's a good thing in the sense of the level of confidence that's been instilled into all of these guys, obviously going 2-0 against two good teams is huge. But I think the Micah Parsons thing has a bigger effect than just simply how much he raises the floor of everyone else around him. The front office gave a giant vote of confidence in this group of guys, and it feels like you're seeing and hearing it from everybody who's talking and being asked sort of about what do you think this team is capable of.
Yeah, and that's all well and good and totally fine as long as they keep their eye on the prize, right? You can't be so enamored with the fact the front office believes in you. That's why they went out and got Micah Parsons, right? That's why they made a move of that caliber. And then go, we are good. We are so good. The front office thinks we're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be this idea of, okay, it's a vote of confidence, certainly, but we still got to hold up our end of the donkey. And so, again, I'm not saying that that's happening where they're sitting here and becoming complacent or they're just resting on their laurels of, well, if the front office thinks we're good, what more do we have to do? We just show up. I just want to, again, it's good to put it out there. It certainly, you know, amplifies the conversation. It puts a little more noise out there about this team 2 games into the season being an exceptional squad. I just, again, prefer believe it. Just keep it between y'all.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to, I mean, they played well these first 2 games, so I guess I'm not worried about that. It's anytime, even in your own life, anytime somebody gives you that vote of confidence, the way that the Packers front office and Brian Gutekunst did with the Packers, you want to reward that. It's the opposite. We've talked about it enough. It's the inverse of when the Brewers traded away Josh Hader.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And that season just went into the tank.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because, oh.
And again, that was an unintended consequence. The Brewers front office wasn't saying, here, you know, here's what's going to happen. We're going to trade away Josh Hader, and all of a sudden the clubhouse is going to go, do they not believe in us? Do they not think we're good enough? I don't think that they were conscious of that being a consequence of that decision.
Correct.
But
correct.
Ultimately ended up being one. Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line. Ryan from Iguanago just, I'll throw it out there. He says, what number will be higher, Badgers wins or Packers losses?
Ooh.
I mean, strays.
That's
right
an
there.
Easy one.
Well, strays, though. Sure. I mean, do the Badgers need to take strays as the Packers have success this season? Is that what we're doing here?
I mean, it should be Badgers wins. Because even Badgers. If the Badgers... Yeah, because the Badgers, even if they're not bowl eligible and they only win 5 games, I don't think the Packers are losing 5 games.
I mean, yeah, that's... I don't know if the Badgers win 5 games. That's what the question is.
Badgers could lose this week.
Yeah, they're 10.5-point favorites, and I don't know how anyone's watched that team and said, yeah, they're 10 points better than anyone.
I think they... So you're saying I shouldn't just go, oh, they're going to win 5 games?
Are we putting this on the Jed, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll? Shout out Ryan from Iguanago.
It feels too negative. I have good vibes going right now.
You don't want to feel those icky ones against about the Badgers?
Yeah, I'm talking about undefeated Packers. I don't want to talk about 4 wins potentially.
All right, let's get to Jason Wilde. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde coming up next.
They already have 2. They're not winning 3 more times?
It's possible. Jeez.
Again. Taking strays this morning. We're talking about the Packers being undefeated, and Ryan Morgano is like, meanwhile, discover Proof Pizza at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is in the heart of Milwaukee's Theater District, a modern pizzeria that delivers Neapolitan-style pies, a bold grill menu, and old-school hospitality in a sleek, art-inspired setting. Whether you're craving a quick lunch or a relaxed evening bite, Proof Pizza should be your go-to destination downtown. Dine in, unwind, and savor flavor that hits just right. And if you mention my name, Jen Latta, you'll get 10% off your order. Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Jen, Gabe, Gabe and Chewy has a poll in the field, the Infinity Exterior poll. Are you a fan of Rashid Walker saying he thinks the Packers can go undefeated this season? That is different than the poll that Gabe referenced just a few moments ago, which is on ESPN Milwaukee, which basically was, do you agree with Rashid Walker? So are you interested in these numbers, Gabe?
From our poll, yes.
Yes. 57% of people say I am a fan.
Okay.
43% of people say I am not a fan. Let's hear what Jason Wilde has to say. Good morning, Jason.
Hello.
Are you a fan of Rashid Walker saying he thinks the Packers can go undefeated this season?
Well, he must have said that when I was talking to someone else in the locker room yesterday, because I did not hear that. I'm a fan of anything that gives us content.
No kidding. I knew that there was going to be nuance to that because I was thinking the same thing. Well, the radio host in me is like, hell yeah, brother. But the fan in me gets a little bit nervous about putting that out there into the, you know, into the world, into the universe.
Yeah, he must have said that when I was talking to Dontavian Wicks about Reed and about how they're going to replace him in the lineup and all the different things that Reed does. So I guess I would say, I mean, I know that there are folks out there that think that I apparently don't know what I'm doing when it comes to reporting. I think that was more important, but that's interesting stuff that Shido would say that.
Yeah, he also said he thought they could have gone undefeated the last two seasons, so, you know, grain of salt type of situation.
Stop reminding people of that detail of the story, Kate.
I feel like it's important.
So basically, he's Kyle Wallace.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he yelled it, but yeah, I mean, he's got a little Kyle in him, apparently. Or Kyle's got a little Rashid in him, one of the two.
Jason, I said this be like having a pal, and they were like, I met this guy, I think he's the one. And you'd be like, sure, but you said that about the last two, you know? And one of them was a real stinker.
Now he's in jail. Yeah, okay.
He kind of dodged a bullet on that one. Jason, when it comes to contract extensions now for the Packers, Quay Walker is somebody that they said that they, despite declining the fifth-year option because they didn't want to pay that much for an inside linebacker, is somebody that they wanted to keep around long-term. Once they signed Micah to the deal, I just assumed, okay, maybe that ends up being one of the casualties of signing Micah Parsons, is you're not going to be able to keep Quay Walker. Is he going to be around past this year, or is he like Romeo, where he's auditioning for another team?
No, how do I say this? Because it just recently came to my attention that someone in the blogosphere was suggesting that the Jones fracture reporting was inaccurate. And I just, again, would say that my sourcing was really good on that. My understanding is that there has been an offer on the table for Quay Walker for some time. And Quay talked about it on the record with us last week. Like, look, I understand that part of this job is access-based, right? Like, I'm there every day. And I know there are people that think that, you know, those of us that have that access try to avoid writing anything controversial or negative so we can keep that access. But I don't operate that way. And I don't go out of my way, like others that have done this job, to find negative angles. I will acknowledge that. That ain't my game. Like, the way I always describe it is when a guy gets benched, I will certainly report on the guy getting benched, but I'm more likely to focus my story, while that information will be in the story, I'm more likely to focus on the guy who's getting the opportunity than on the guy that's getting benched. It'll still be in there. Mm-hmm. That information will still be included. But to me, the more interesting angle is, okay, they've benched this Chimura guy. They're going to start this Neitzel guy. This Neitzel guy, big opportunity for him. Okay, that's kind of how my brain works. So in the Quay Walker story, like, Quay Walker flat out said that they've been working on this, and then he's been the holdup, is what he said.
Okay. Well, so again, if the second you said, well, it's been on the table, that's pretty obvious to me, Jason, that, oh, Quay doesn't like what the number is. That's if there's been a contract that's been sitting out there, the Packers offered it thinking it's a fair deal, and if it's still sitting there, Quay and his representation are going, okay, how can we get more money? That seems to be the basic thing.
Sure, and I think that's part of the negotiation, but I will, two other things. One, you know, I subsequently talked to Quay, and I don't want to ruin any of his negotiating power, but I don't think they're far off. Like, I don't think it's on the table because, like, and not signed because the number that it's at is, like, offensive to him and lowball. Okay? That's one. Two, so I
And it's not ceremonious
happened.
The way that it was for Devontae. Oh, well, we offered him the most money, and he decided not to be here.
Yeah. As he was walking out the door, hey, we'll give you $2 million more. So that's one. Two, so I'm in the locker room yesterday, and you know, Elgton Jenkins is one of my guys, and his locker is in the far back corner, in the same region that Quay is, and he says to me, he says, "Hey, you want me to go get Quay for you?" I'm like, "What? Hey, you want me to go get Quay?" Because I had interviewed Quay previously in that area. Actually, I think Quay's locker isn't over there. He just sits a lot with Elgton.
Okay.
And so I'm like, well, why? Well, why would I want you to get Quay? And then the little light bulb over my head went off, and I said, do you have a scoop for me? He's like, oh, I got a scoop. Okay. Well, what is it? I said, did he sign the contract? He's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. I said, then what the hell do you want me to talk to Quay for? And Quay is a little bit reluctant to talk to us. Like, I have a good working relationship with him, but he, you know, he doesn't like to do media stuff very often. So my little reporter antenna are now up, and now that you guys mentioned the contract during this portion of the program, when I get back to the stadium today, I feel like I have more digging to do because it makes me wonder if things are, if they're closing in on this actually happening.
That's awesome. You want me to get Quay? For what? Yeah. Oh, nothing.
Yeah. he'd fit right in with some of the knuckleheads I covered with Chewy and those guys during the day. I will just quickly add this because I for context. I do think that Goody is on the record saying that despite the deal with Micah Parsons, that the structure of it allows them to still do what they want to do, in his words, for the next 3 years.
Yes, well, because we know that I think the base salary is up in the $60 million plus range for year four. So would you expect any sort of extension, whether we're talking about for Quay or any receiver that they want to extend before the end of the season, that would fit into that window? That it'd basically be, I mean, maybe it ends up being a four-year deal for Quay, but in actuality, it's a three-year deal kind of lining up with that window where they have all this money.
Yeah, I that's exactly what I think. Like, I just think that they're going to, they did not want to do this and then hamstring themselves with other key pieces, right? And there's, I still think they're going to let Sean Ryan walk. I still think they're going to let Romeo Doubs walk. I think they're going to let Rashid Walker go predict that somebody else is going to go 17-0. Like, I don't think they're going to sign a lot of guys. But Goody, who has not always been completely forthcoming, was very clear about their desire about Quay Walker. And the other part of this is, don't forget, Devontae Wyatt, who I think has played pretty well in the first two games, is on the fifth-year option, but they can certainly take that and fold that into an extension if they want before next season starts and lock him up for longer, too. But the phrase that Goody has said on multiple occasions is that they want both those guys, both those 2022 first-round picks, We want them here for 26 and beyond.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. You guys and I were talking this morning, Jason, about Romeo Doubs and what he would have to do to sort of change the trajectory of how things are trending for him right now. What type of season would Romeo have in order for them to be like, you know what, actually, we see a future with him long-term in Green Bay?
Yeah, that's a great question. And look, when I say stuff, and I think Rob Domofsky would say the same thing about what kind of formulates his opinions that he shares with us on each of our shows. It's because we've talked to people, and so we know kind of what the team is thinking. Now, that's not always the case. Like, sometimes we just have opinions and educated guesses, and sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. But, like, you know, Tausch and I were ahead of the curve on Aaron Rodgers being fundamentally unhappy before it became clear he was staying away from the off-season program a few years ago. Like, that stuff is based on conversations with people, which, I understand that I can't always explain that in real time when I give an opinion. My understanding is that the episode last year for people in the building, if it wasn't a deal breaker, it was awfully close to one. And it's hard to get over that kind of stuff. And so I think he's reversed the trajectory of his career, of how people feel about him already. Like, he had a great camp. He has played well in the first two games. He seems to be doing everything that they would ask of him. But I don't think that's going to change their opinion on him, even though he's playing well. Like, I think what it, if, and this is, I'm telling you, this is purely a guess, because he has not said this to me. Romeo is not the most communicative guy I've covered. If I were to guess, though, he has said to himself, or someone has said to him, hey, man, look, it's probably not going to happen here, but if you put together a really, really good season, somebody's going to pay you some big-time money. It's probably not going to be us, so keep your head down, work your tail off, stay focused, don't get emotional about things you don't like, and you're going to make yourself a bunch of money, but it's probably not going to be from us.
Jason Wilde, brought to us by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging supply chain assessment, lakelandsupply.com. Zach Tom, what's the latest?
Yeah, based on his affect, he ain't playing. It's probably another week away.
Do we know how severe the oblique injury is? Because, again, I think of oblique.
Not severe.
Yeah, obviously, not severe enough to go on IR, Jason, but, like, I think
or
of oblique.
Surgery.
Yeah.
Right.
I think
surgery.
Of oblique, I think a lot of times a baseball player, and they're out. I feel like anytime somebody gets an oblique, it's like a month. And I understand football's a little bit different, and the function of the oblique is different, but I usually think of that as a pretty significant injury.
Yeah, I mean, he said it hurts when he runs. And while he's not running all the way down the field, he does have to run some. I don't think being unable to run is probably good for your chances of being able to play.
Jason, really good stuff there. I appreciate the insight across the board, but particularly on the Romeo Doubs thing, as we were, again, discussing that this morning. Got a feeling we might continue discussing that after you leave us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm glad I can help with that.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch each and every morning right after our little show. Thanks, Jason.
Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Good stuff. I'm a little bit intrigued by the Romeo Doubs stuff, Gabe. And I want to get into that.
Okay.
Right after this.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue for any guy, which is why I've been telling you about Mentality for years, and they've been helping me for years. I mean, we've been doing this morning show now for 5 years. And since we started doing it, okay, I'm tired as the day goes on, just getting a little bit older, used to do the afternoon show. Okay, my body's got to get used to that. Well, no, it turns out my testosterone levels were low. How did I know? Because I went to Mentality. I went through the process with them, did the blood panel, and now I have a customized testosterone treatment plan just for me. I go back every 12, 13 weeks, make sure my testosterone levels are exactly where they need to be. That's what it can be like for you with Mentality. Increase strength, shake fatigue, sleep better, lose weight, all with Mentality. So go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. mentalityhealth.com/radio. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about their low testosterone treatments. mentalityhealth.com/radio.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do.
Yes,
all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus.
Easy. Yeah, but the jacker things don't have that.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, where?
On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. Great Midwest Bank will take care of giving you the very best options so that you are ready when the next big life decision comes your way. You can get fast and flexible mortgage pre-approvals straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and, most importantly, guys, local loan officers. From start to finish, you can bank with confidence. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. Just talked to Jason Wilde a few moments ago about, a lot of things, actually. If you missed it, you know, we talked about Zach Tom, doesn't think he's playing this weekend. Talked a little bit about some of the contract situations that are out there. He believes that there is an offer on the table to Quay Walker, which brought up my curiosity about Romeo Doubs. Because I think Romeo Doubs has had a pretty nice little start to the season. I just checked out wide receiving rankings in the NFL. And while he's not in the top 50, he is 57.
Oh, yeah, great start to the season.
Well, who do you think is leading the Packers wide receivers in the wide receiver rankings?
Where are you getting this from? What website?
I'm on ESPN.com.
Oh, from ESPN. Oh, just so is this
NFL player receiving stats? I've got yards.
Oh, and yards? Well, I mean, Tucker Kraft has the most yards.
Yep, it's Tucker Kraft. Very good. 140 yards.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. He ranks 57th in the league right now, 2 weeks in, Romeo Doubs. Where's his number?
Yeah, he's got less than 100. It's close to 100, but it's
96 yards in the first two games. And there's a part of me that thinks, like, could he have a season, particularly obviously with Christian Watson out, particularly obviously with Jaden Reed being out, where he emerges as more of a go-to guy for this team? Now, Jason gave really good insight, and I hope y'all were listening, that is basically like, no matter how good he is this year, he can't come back from what happened last year. And I got to be honest, Gabe, like, while I trust the Green Bay Packers, they've done a lot of good moves, made a lot of good moves. There's a part of me that's like, God, it really stinks that he had that hiccup, that mistake, that error last year, and that he can't come back from that. There's a part of me that is like, who amongst us haven't made boneheaded or, you know, again, if you believe some of the things that are out there, you know, he might have been in a struggling in a mental space at the time. Again, I don't know that. That is speculation. But my question to you is, should he be able to make good on what happened last year?
I understand why. I mean, again, we're talking about millions of dollars that you would just be handing someone. And well, again, the Packers can afford that. You still don't want to have, you don't want to make mistakes with contracts that you're handing out. And yeah, they're NFL players do some dumb things sometimes. But when you decide not to show up for work and literally don't tell anyone why you're not, I can understand why they don't have that trust. Hey, we're not going to give you a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract and trust you when you haven't earned that trust. Like, you can't, you just, oops, my bad.
But
oh,
why can't you gain it back? That's what I'm saying. Like, again, I think we all are in agreement that he handled it poorly, right? And your point is well taken. You can't quit on your team.
And that's
right?
What he did.
That is something that guys are like, whoa, we don't know if we can bank on you. We don't know if you're a guy that we can rely on. It's a big deal. But why can't you come back from that? If he has done everything that is asked of him, which it sounds like he has, this training camp, he's been great. If he continues to emerge as a productive option for Jordan Love, etc., are you telling me there's no way he could come back from that and be in the Green Bay Packers future?
The answer is very straightforward. He's not good enough. He's just not good enough. If Chase did this, Jamar Chase did this for the Bengals, he'd be able to overcome it because Jamar Chase can win you the triple crown as a wide receiver. Did that last year. If Justin Jefferson did this, easy to overcome. Romeo Doubs isn't good enough. Romeo Doubs isn't that. Romeo Doubs isn't going to have a 1,500-yard season in his career. He's a solid player. He's somebody who's going to play for, you know, probably pretty close to a decade in the NFL. But he's not good enough to make a mistake like that and then be rewarded down the line by that same team that you decided not to show up on. He's just not, he is more replaceable than any of the other guys that I just mentioned. And the Packers invested in that position to try and replace him. They drafted Matthew Gold in the first round, Savion Williams in the third. They decided to give Christian Watson a one-year contract extension. They've got other guys that they have to worry about too, with Wicks and Reed next year. And now obviously Watson falls into that category with the 1 year extension, who's going to be a free agent after the 2026 season. Romeo Doubs, while he's a fine player, he's not a great player. And only great players can get away with mistakes like that. And again, whether or not you wanted to determine it's a mistake or not, because it was a conscious decision not to show up. He decided not to show up for his team and not tell anyone why he was showing up. Turns out it's because he was unhappy with his role in the offense.
Is it your belief then that they would try to trade him to get something in exchange for him, or that at the end of the year they just say, good job putting some stuff down on film so the other teams are interested in you and best of luck.
Yeah, just let him walk away. I believe there would have been a scenario in which he would have been traded at the deadline this year, but with Jaden Reed getting hurt, I think that scenario went out the window. Because now Reed's hurt, had to have multiple surgeries, because as long as you're in there, you know, fixing the clavicle, just go ahead and fix the Jones fracture. So the fact that he's going to be out for 8+ weeks, you need that depth at the wide receiver position. So you can't afford to trade him away. If there was a specific situation where Reed stayed healthy, Watson comes back relatively early, shows that he can be productive coming off the knee, then maybe they could have traded him, but now you need that depth.
How very Rod Tidwell of Romeo Dobbs. You're loving me now, Jim. You're loving me now. Chef Ed weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line this morning saying, I think out of all the receivers, Dobbs has been the most consistent. He might be worth an extension. What say you to Chef Ed saying, I've seen some stuff I really like from Dobbs.
Yeah, again, he's not good enough. I mean, he's off to a fast start. 5 catches, 96 yards.
All right. Well, again, but this goes back to sort of the way that the Packers have structured their offense, the dynamic of their wide receivers, which it seems right now is still spread the ball around.
So why would you,
everybody involved.
Okay, so then why would you pay more for someone? Somebody who's on a rookie contract, why would you pay more for that person if you can just spread it out, backfill with some of the other positions why would you pay more for that? If you're going to pay more for that, then you should probably change the way you do the offense. And actually feature some of these guys. He's not good enough. Jason's always used the James Jones. Hey, he's kind of like James Jones. James Jones was a 3 for the Packers. I understand he was a number 1 when he came back because they were desperate and Jordy was out and they had all these injuries. But Romeo Dobbs is a 2 or a 3, and he's not a T. Higgins is a 1. You know, he got paid. He happens to be a 2 because Ja'Marr Chase is the 1 on their team. He's not somebody that I would invest a ton of money into, even without the incident. I understand he looks reliable, but he's just, the numbers aren't good enough. He doesn't have enough, you know, great athletic traits where I wouldn't feel like I would be able to easily replace him.
And of course, there is the concussion history as well, which of course is always something you have to consider when you talk about a player like that. Savion Williams also looks like a guy that they want to continue growing in that role, working into. So maybe he ends up ultimately being a quote unquote replacement for a Romeo Dobbs. Ryan from Iguanago agrees with you. If Dobbs was a 10, sure, but he's at best a 6 or a 7. Seems like he is okay with letting him walk. Look, here's what I'm fine with, if I'm being honest, just to put a bow on this conversation. I am fine with a guy being motivated by, they don't want me here, I need to find a new landing spot, let me go out and absolutely ball out, have an unbelievable season, put big numbers on the board, and then have more suitors for my services when I'm done here. I'm okay with that. I love dangling that carrot in front of a guy because the odds are you're going to get their very best performance if they recognize the writing on the wall.
But also, I become leery if that's what it takes to motivate you. How many guys have you seen have had a career year and a contract year?
Lots.
And then revert back to what they were before. So that would be scary to me, too. Like, would I actually want to pay, you know?
No. I'm not saying. I think, again, you have said that it's a foregone conclusion. He will not be extended by the Green Bay Packers.
Correct.
So what do you care if somebody else goes out and gets burned?
Yeah, I don't. I'm just saying if I were a general manager, I would always be leery of guys who go and have career years when it's going to be a contract year. Okay, what are you actually motivated by? What am I paying for? Because the NFL is littered with guys who have had career years and contract years and then get rewarded and then don't live up to what they did.
Let's go to Chris, who is out there on the YouTube stream. Again, you can always stream the show on our ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. Agree with Gabe. Dobbs is a fine player. Nothing special. Just fine. Replaceable for sure. Some poor team will give him a contract that they will ultimately regret. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. But guys, let me tell you, if you're like me and disorganization and chaos really jams you up, really cranks up your anxiety, then you should call my friends over at Closets by Design, because my closet was a source of anxiety for me. And Doug and his team came out to my house in Mequon, and they said, we can help here. They created a warm, incredible, organized space that I now actually enjoy. And here's what really stood out to me, guys. The personal attention. Took the time to understand exactly what I needed, showed me a lot of great options, and made sure that everything would fit in my space and style perfectly. Now, did I need to drop a lot of stuff off at Goodwill? I did. Let's be honest about this, okay? But everything that I kept looks fantastic in my new closets by Closets by Design. If you're ready to get organized like I was, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
In the market for a brand new home, I cannot recommend my friends over at the We Sell Group at Keller Williams enough. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient and helpful and informative and available during our journey. It is so clear their passion is people. Maybe you're ready to move right now. Maybe not. Maybe you're just starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling your home. The We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com. Gabe, I know you're very busy, so I'm not sure how much of the college football Saturday slate you were able to take in, but what a doozy of a game we got from Tennessee, Georgia this past week.
Oh, it was really good.
I thought Tennessee was going to finally end the streak of losing 8 straight to Georgia. It looked like they were in the driver's seat. Joey Aguilar, a great story in college football, looked awesome. And then Kirby Smart and company were like, you know what? Actually, Gunnar Stockton, actually, we're going to make a game out of this. Sent it to overtime. Georgia goes on to win.
I felt bad for the kicker from Tennessee.
Yeah, but did you see his face before the kick?
You knew it wasn't going in.
Correct.
It was the first time that I wish we had like the live betting apps in Wisconsin. Because the second I saw him walk out in the field, I wouldn't have been able to pull up a bet, an app fast enough to say, yeah, this kid ain't going to make this kick.
So, yes, Tennessee did end up losing. So it was a tough day for Vol fans, but no more difficult. Joshy, I believe you have the Joshy does not, shaking his head.
I need about 10 seconds.
Okay. Can I vamp for 10 seconds? Oh, boy. Let me ask you a question. What is your theory, Gabe Neitzel?
Mm-hmm.
On calling in sick to work to attend a sporting event, generally speaking?
I mean, if you got no other option, right? And if it's, again, if you are somebody who is a huge sports fan, don't waste that on, you know, we're talking about Tennessee, Georgia, so let's say Tennessee versus Middle Tennessee. Don't waste it on that. If you're going to waste it, it has to be a big game. If you're going to do that, it is last resort option. You couldn't use other vacation. You have to go because it's such a big game. Yeah, I can understand that.
All right, so take a listen to this gentleman who did just that, called in sick to go to the Tennessee-Georgia game and then was shown frequently and regularly on the broadcast.
And I got cold played. And then I'm all over national TV, but that my guys at work and all of them, Tennessee Choice Team, shout out. Thank you for understanding.
You okay with this? Again, I agree with you. Caliber of game matters. You know, opponent matters. Significance matters. That was an absolute scene. I would not want to miss that if I were a Vols fan. And this gentleman was like, I got to work, but I got tickets to the game. So he called in sick and showed up on the television broadcast. He was really going through the emotions. That's the thing, right? Like, you see these people who are like, he's rubbing his arms, mm-hmm. he's biting his nails, he's doing all of the things. And to be fair, the truck sees that on their cameras and goes, oh, give me a shot of that guy. That guy is representing the fan base right now. I want to see him. And then they proceeded to show him multiple times, which sort of outed him because he had called in sick.
He didn't get fired, right? He's good?
He did not get fired.
Okay.
His bosses understood. I did say this morning when I was on TMJ, you know, when you mention your company a few times on the local television broadcast.
Kind of helps out.
A little quid pro quo there. Sure, I called in sick, but I just mentioned our company a couple times and I'm wearing the t-shirt and the hat and all of that. You know, free advertising goes a long way.
Did I miss some details? Did he call off Friday to go to? Because it's a Saturday, right? That was when the game was?
Yeah, so that I am curious as to what is, because obviously some people have to work on Saturdays.
Yeah, it happens.
You know, I'm not, that was one of the things I was curious about. Like, what job does this guy have? And had he used his other PTO? Like, I'm guessing he knew for a while he was going to the Georgia-Tennessee game.
Did he call
maybe
off
not.
Monday?
Maybe he just landed tickets,
but
you know?
The article that you had sent me about this kind of said that he goes to this game as often as he can. So I've got a lot of follow-up questions that are just kind of never going to be answered because nobody seemed to bother to ask if this guy was out of vacation, what he was what his job is that would require him to use vacation.
Get in the way of a good story
But it's not a good story if I get some of these details.
Do you like that he has called it, I got Coldplayed? Of course, referring to the couple that were canoodling at the Coldplay concert, and then, of course, it blew up their lives because they were both married and... you know, doing things maybe married people shouldn't be doing without the permission of their spouses. Do you like that Coldplayed is now a thing?
Yeah, because it's an easy thing to say that everybody knows what happened. I was someplace I shouldn't have been, and I got caught on camera.
All right.
I don't mind that becoming part of the lingo.
It's a quick way to describe something we all know.
Yeah.
Now.
You're somewhere you shouldn't be.
And you got busted by the camera.
Yeah, and the camera caught you.
Gotcha.
That story, the Coldplay story, and I know we talked about it, that collectively captured our like attention in a way I didn't even expect. I expected that to live online. That became like a national news story.
Well, yeah, because the company like essentially blew up.
I think he got fired.
Yeah.
I think that her marriage is now being dissolved.
Oh, really? Is that what happens when you cheat on your spouse? Marriages get dissolved?
I imagine she didn't have a hard time getting that one through.
Why are you looking to dissolve this marriage? Well, my wife was caught at a Coldplay concert. Oh, that's you?
Let me ask you a question. Should you lie about it? Should you just say, like, listen, I'm going to use a sick day. Here's what's going on. I'm going to the Georgia-Tennessee game. You know, I have the sick day to burn. I know it's not technically a cough or a, you know, cold or whatever. Like, should you just fess up and say it? Because, again, we talk about this all the time. The lie is what does the most damage. Maybe not in this case, but just generally speaking, hello, general population. It feels like maybe you should just be straightforward about it.
It probably obviously depends upon where you work. But I've got a buddy who's got a blue-collar job, and the way they split up, like, his sick time, and like, it's all basically just PTO. Like, nobody really cares what portion that you're using, because you get certain amount of hours and then you get more as you accrue hours as the year goes along. It seems like where he works, nobody really cares what bucket they're pulling it from, but it's just, oh, I don't have enough hours. Okay, I'm just going to use a sick day because I have enough hours in this bucket versus that bucket. It seems like most places like that don't care.
I haven't felt the urge to do to not be honest, even if something sneaks up on me at this job at any point, because I can usually just look at someone and be like, hey, I need your help on this. I screwed up, and everyone's pretty understanding. But back when I worked in the factory or worked in the warehouse, we were using those days to our best advantage. It's a little bit different, I think.
And were
based
you
on
fibbing about it is the thing.
Oh,
were
for
you,
sure.
So I've said this also about my job, Joshy. Like, there's some things that are excusable for whatever reason. Doctor's appointment, right? I have a doctor's appointment. People are like, oh yeah, of course, take care of your doctor's appointment. We know how hard it is to get. But like, I also have hair appointments every 3 weeks. I'm on television, sort of part of the gig. If my boss calls me and is like, hey, we'd like to shoot a feature on this day, and I look at my calendar and go, oh God, I got a hair appointment covering up the grays. Can I say I have a hair appointment to my boss, or do I need to say, ugh, I have a doctor's appointment?
You tell me.
No.
You tell
what
me.
What you think?
You
is
just described
a
very specific situation. That
I'm saying, what do you guys think is the proper way to handle it? You know, like, for whatever reason, hair appointment doesn't have the same cachet as doctor's appointment.
But because you're on television, it feels like hair appointment should be okay.
Who are you talking to? I know!
That's what I'm saying. I think it should be okay, but it seems like it's not okay based on you asking the question.
It's a hypothetical situation.
Of course, it's never happened.
It's certainly not based in reality at all this week.
This is getting to a point where I'm like, I think everyone kind of understands that the expectations for someone on TV is to be in the best, you know, version of yourself. Isn't that kind of what we all prepare for?
Aesthetically, of course. Yeah. Yes, we all know that.
Right.
Not necessarily
far
mentally.
Far cry from the best version of myself everywhere else. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.